Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Jesus, to say the name is to breathe power and life into the atmosphere. Solomon's song said his name is as an ointment, a perfume, a fragrance. Poured forth, it fills the room. As Bernardine of Siena said, Jesus' name, full of glory, grace, love, and strength. You are the refuge of those who repent, our banner of warfare in this life, the medicine of souls, the comfort of those who mourn, the delight of those who believe, the light of those who preach the true faith, the wages of those who toil, the healing of the sick. To you, Jesus, our devotion aspires. By you, Jesus, our prayers are received. We delight in contemplating you. O name of Jesus, you're the glory of all the saints for eternity. Amen. What a stark contrast between what he said and what a bishop in the Netherlands recently said. He said that God doesn't care what name he's called. He advocates borrowing Islam's name for God and using that in prayer. He argued that it would ease the tension between the faiths. God does care what name he's called. There are many names and titles for God found in Scripture, but God cares what name we use in prayer and in baptism and in everything we do in life. Paul said in Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Jesus. It's not only a sweet name, music to our ears, it's a powerful name. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and here on Daily Devotion this week, we're discussing Go Get It All Back. One of the things that we need to rediscover is the power of the name of Jesus. In Western culture, a name is simply used to identify, to distinguish one person from another. Most people choose name for their children simply because they like the sound of those names. But in biblical days, names were chosen for their meanings. Adam means from the earth, so his name was associated with his origination. Same too with Moses, meaning drawn from the water, that he was rescued from the water. Moses named his son born in the wilderness Gershom. We're a stranger here. A name that identified his longing for home. Hosea named his son Lo-Ami, not my people. His name was a prophecy that soon God was turning his back on Israel. So many names are given for God in the Old Testament. I've given up after discovering over 1,000 different names and titles for God. Yet there is only one God, and there is no other God beside him. Deuteronomy 4, the Lord himself is God. There's none other beside him. Deuteronomy 4:39, the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. And of course, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 32, now see that I am he, and there is no God beside me. 2 Samuel 7, therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you. Isaiah 43, I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You get the picture. There may be many names and titles in the Bible for this God, but he is a solitary figure in the course of Scripture, one who reigns supremely and augustly for all time and eternity. He's over all heaven and earth. This single God has a name that we're instructed to say and to use in prayer, and that name is Jesus. The highest name for God in the Old Testament was comprised of four letters, the four consonants often called the tetragrammaton. We say it's pronounced Jehovah or Yahweh. This is the name that God gave to Moses when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God replied, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent you." That name for God was used over 5,400 times in the Old Testament. You'll find this name in your Bible, usually capitalized as the word God or Lord, all in capitalized letters. How is it pronounced remains a mystery. Some say Jehovah, some say Yahweh, and there are a multitude of other pronunciations. Some admit we have no clue how it is to be pronounced. But that was the highest name for God in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 10 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome." It's that Jehovah God. If our search for the pronunciation of that name ended with Malachi, we would be disappointed. For we are left with the name of God that is called ineffable, cannot be pronounced or called upon. It doesn't stop in Malachi, however, there is a New Testament. For God desired to reveal his name to a man named Joseph, the angel of the Lord said of Mary, Matthew chapter 1, the opening chapter of the New Testament, "She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." We need to rediscover the power in that name. The name of Jesus. Here the angel said it would save people from their sins. So Jesus is the revealed name for God. Jesus is a Latin form of a Greek expression meaning Jehovah saves. By his name, Jesus declares, "I am who I am, I save." Jesus was no stranger to using the phrase, "I am," 21 times in the Gospel of John alone. He used those words, "I am." He said things like, "I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 8, "For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" Later in the same discussion, Jesus says these words, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." They understood what Jesus was saying. He had equated himself with the Jehovah of the Old Testament, the great I am. They took up stones to throw at him. The people who wanted to stone Jesus did so because he had just declared himself to be the I am of the Old Testament. This wouldn't be the last time. Later in the same book, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," and again they try to stone him. For hundreds of years, people have been asking, "What's your name, God?" It wasn't until the closing night of Christ's earthly ministry when he prayed in John 17, that great high priestly prayer, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it." Twice in this prayer, Jesus said, "I have declared your name." And after he spoke these words, the soldiers came to take Jesus to be crucified. He asked them, "Whom are you seeking?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Notice the words that Jesus said then, "I am he." The moment Jesus said that, the soldiers fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Who are you seeking?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I am he." In the previous chapter, Jesus said in prayer, "I've declared your name twice." In this chapter, Jesus of Nazareth is equated with the I am of the Old Testament. He said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the image of the invisible God." Paul said, "In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So when you say the name of Jesus, don't you know there's something about that name? It is indeed the sweetest name I know. What's so special about the name of Jesus? I would say, first of all, the power that's found in that name. We don't believe there is any intrinsic power behind the letters that comprise the name of Jesus, but it's the name of Jesus that unleashes the blessings of heaven. When spoken in faith and sincerity, the name of Jesus brings protection and healing. Jesus said, "In my name, you will take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover." In his book, Ever Increasing Faith, Smith Wigglesworth told a story about a man who had been bedridden and was in desperate need of healing. He sent for a group of his friends who were faith-filled people, asking them to pray the prayer of faith over him. But after praying, there was no immediate result, so they left discouraged. When they were still standing outside, one of them said, "There's one thing we didn't do." So they went back inside, gathered in a group, and started whispering the name of Jesus. At first, as they whispered, nothing seemed to happen. But as they continued to whisper, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," the sick man stirred. And they began to see this manifestation of healing. Their whispers grew louder, and soon they began to shout the powerful name of Jesus. He sat up, and he got up from his bed of affliction. The name of Jesus can keep a sick bed from becoming a death bed. Pray that name. Outside the gate, beautiful Peter and John fastened their eyes on a lame man, saying, "Silver and gold we have none, but such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And the man arose. Oh, that name is so very powerful. Pray the name. The name of Jesus brings peace in the midst of trials. The same one who spoke "peace be still" still speaks today. When someone speaks his name, the wind and the white caps fall. The name of Jesus conquers the enemy. The devil himself said, "Jesus, I know." When we come in the name of the Lord, there is power to overcome the wicked one. It's the name of Jesus that unlocks the windows of heaven. Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you." No wonder we are commanded in Colossians 3:17, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's just something powerful about that name of Jesus. It is indeed the sweetest name we know. But that name offends many. The cornerstone becomes the stumbling block. On school campuses across America, people are told, "Don't pray or speak in the name of Jesus." That's nothing new. People have always been offended by that name. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples were commanded not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. In Acts 5, the apostles were beaten and commanded, "Don't speak in the name of Jesus." But that doesn't explain why people are offended at that name. I believe it's really simple. If Jesus was one of many paths to God or heaven or satisfaction, no one would care. But Jesus claimed to be the exclusive way, the way. John closed his gospel by saying, "I wrote these things that you might believe. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Paul said, "We're washed, justified, sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Peter said it like this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Acts 4:12, "There's salvation in no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's why the name of Jesus is offensive to this world. It represents the exclusivity of the path to God. He is not a way. He is the way. And everyone, regardless of their faith, will one day bow before the highest name, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. Every tongue will confess the power of that name. I believe that we need to find again, search again, claim again the power that can be found in the name of Jesus. I say to you, believing child of God, go get it back.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.